your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning. It is Monday, October 21st, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning is Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Continuous Improvement, Tommy Ritterbush. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I said that name right?
Correct? You did.
Okay,
yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really good at that, you know. Wrong line of business to be in, you know. Now, just a little background on just exactly what got you to the point where you're at, and we'll talk about what continuous improvement actually is and why the hospital kind of employs that as almost like a independent department, really.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you're a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get here?
Well, I'm a homegrown kid. I was born and raised in Sheridan, Wyoming. I love Sheridan. It's my community. It's what I really love so much about Sheridan is the community that we have here. And so I graduated Sheridan High School and went to Sheridan College, got my nursing degree there and finished at the University of Wyoming. And then I started working at the hospital. I started in the nurse residency program and started my career at Welch Cancer Center as a nurse there. And I absolutely just loved being able to provide for patients in that setting. You get to build a longstanding relationship with them. They come in and you get to know them as like the individual that they are. And oncology care just really spoke to me because it was complex, but you got to have that relationship with the patients over time because of the nature of how they come in for multiple visits. About 3 years into that, the manager role came open, and I was really excited about that opportunity. I just wanted to make sure that we could always have a wonderful center that could continue to give back to our community, and I felt really called to apply for that. And I'm so grateful that as young as I was, that I had the leadership that I did in that role and the mentorship with Kathy Beeler, who's our chief nursing officer. She just took me under her wing and really has taught me a lot. And just being part of that was really important to me because I really wanted to make sure that we always have quality care within oncology.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, my scope was only really within Welch. And then a few years went by and the transitional care unit project came up, and I was excited for that opportunity to maybe grow some more, and took a leap of faith and started that and got to work on that project alongside of others and open that new unit for our community, which was amazing to be part of something where we continue to expand for our community is really important to me because
I love this
community.
Memorial Hospital has done a lot of that.
Absolutely.
Over the last 4 or 5 years since I've been here. I mean,
yeah,
not just the TCU, but now this, you know, behavioral health thing is coming in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has really grown in the last half decade.
It really has. I've been at the hospital for 10 years now, and truly, I don't really remember a time where we aren't working on something for our community.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty incredible for a community of our size to have a hospital that is that committed to continue to expand, grow, and serve its community while maintaining its independence as a community hospital within the state.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to your spark of inspiration to become a nurse, was this something that you just always wanted to do, or did something happen and the nurse, you know, was great to you?
Sure.
Or something?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I grew up always thinking I was going to be a teacher. And then my senior year, I took a health science class in high school. And I said, this is awesome. It's science and it's people. And I love both of those things. And so I just changed. Like,
wow.
Instantly changed and applied for that program. Got in the first time I tried, which was exciting, you know, because it was a very competitive program at Sheridan College. It's a huge career. A lot of people wanting to get into the career because it's very stable. You always have a job.
And tough.
It is tough, but it is so rewarding to be able to give back to people, take care of people. Also, just getting to chat with people, get to know them. I love that about it.
I dated a girl the entire time she was in nursing school, and she ended up becoming a flight nurse now. You know, helicopters, fixed wing, all kinds of different stuff. But it just fascinated me. You know, you've got to be dedicated to get through that program. The amount of time that she sat in front of her computer reading,
mm-hmm.
you know, And then I would drill her. She would give me little cue cards, and I would drill. I mean, and then the residency, I think, is what it's called, where you have to kind of shadow other nurses. Mm-hmm. That's just hours and hours and hours. Back into the house, down for 8 hours, up and gone again. I mean, a tough program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it came to that, what kept you going? Was it just the, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I want to do?
Honestly, it was so important to me to find something where I could give back to others. I'm very much servant in that way. I like to care for people. I like to take care of others. And when I would go to our clinicals and see the hospital too, it was somewhere where I just saw people really cared a lot about the people that come in there. And they're not just anybody. It's not any person. It's your neighbor. It's someone that you care about. It's someone that you somehow might know or have seen as a face just in the grocery store in your mm-hmm. local community. And to know that you are privileged enough to be a part of a very vulnerable time for them yeah. and help them through that was extremely important to me. I went one day to Welch Cancer Center. I think, let's see, it'd probably be like 11 years ago. And I was like, that is the coolest place. I have to be there someday. And it all worked out to where I got to be there. And that was exciting for me because being part of people's stories at some of the most vulnerable times is a huge honor. Oh, and yeah. to be able to do that with your own community where you know these people, you pass them, you know, on the streets, it's extremely rewarding. And it really just is a calling, truly.
It's more than just a business, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that mm-hmm. really, for me, that's the part that kind of got me into service myself. And mm-hmm. and it was more than just anybody making money, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what stuck with me and allowed me to be part of something bigger that wasn't all talk, you know. And I feel like that's the same with Sheridan Memorial mm-hmm. Hospital. I've been to some hospital. I've been all over the country. And I've been to some hospitals that you're like, wow, this is grab a number, check in, check out mm-hmm. type of deal. They're just trying to get people through. But with Sheridan Memorial, and I'm not blowing smoke here, I've spoke with a lot of the doctors down there, a lot of the nurses, and the administrators. And it's a lot more than that. It's about care.
Mm-hmm.
And so leading up to the position that you are in now, is that one of the driving factors where you're, you know, we're talking about your career coming up, the Welch Cancer Center being such an important place to so many people and such a pivotal moment in someone's life that now did they basically look at you and say, look, she's been dealing with the Welch Cancer Center. She's been in there. So she knows what quality care actually looks like. Let's go ahead and interview her for the position.
I think when you are committed to Sheridan Memorial Hospital, the thing that I have experienced is that they're committed to you. If you would like to grow within the facility or take on new challenges, they're right there to support you through that. And I have always felt that mentorship, that growth opportunity be very strong within Sheridan Memorial Hospital. And so when that opportunity arose, I was able to participate in that. They asked, is this something you want to do? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. This is right up my alley. I think this would be great. And so it was just a really awesome opportunity to be welcomed into this new area to work alongside the professionals that I get to work alongside every day. They're exquisite. And it's really marrying the whole commitment long-term, like as a whole organization, we are committed to quality and we want to make sure that this is a place that continues to have that long-standing for years and years to come as we continue our journey.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. I've got to write down a question for you because I've got a pretty good one coming up. All right, we're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Continuous Improvement right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Continuous Improvement, Tommy Ritterbush. Now, before we took a break, I said there was a question I wanted to ask, and it's kind of a big one. You got into this entire profession because you dealt with science and health. but primarily service to patients. Now that you've accepted this new director role, you lose a certain connection with them. And so I was just wondering, before we took a break, you know, how much does that affect you now? Do you still desire to be? Because you're pretty young, you know. You still, there could have been years and years of nursing ahead of you. What do you, what are your thoughts?
You know, the patients are always why I think any of us should be there, and I think why most of us all are there. We are there to serve our patients with excellent care, and absolutely, I miss having that, you know, face-to-face interaction every single day with patients. I would say that anytime I get to talk to a patient, that's a day that I leave with my bucket full. Always. Just because they are always so grateful and appreciative of whatever, you know, whatever reason in which your cross paths or your paths cross that day. But I have over the years really found that if I can really in these roles of leadership serve the staff and the organization in a way that benefits them and allows them to perform and do their best work every single day by supporting them, then we have a bigger reach to reach all the patients or the community or the, you know, people that are traveling into our center. If we can focus on trying to help them do their best every day, then we really are having a far-reaching effect on all patients. And so I just like to stop in the halls, talk to patients as much as I can see them, you know, to get my bucket, you know, filled for that day. But the more that I can just try to help the entire team, it helps more patients overall.
And, you know, that's kind of the pain to being good at your job. You're going to get promoted. You know what I mean? And sometimes you get promoted out of it. And even though you do a much bigger good, you lose small parts. And I think a lot of people kind of feel that as they accept leadership roles. In 2002, you were actually selected by the Wyoming Business Report as one of the 30 under 40, a program that recognizes young people who are shaping and will continue to shape the future of Wyoming. What did that mean to you when they came to you and they gave you this? I mean, I've known a few individuals who've received this honor, and it's almost like I was just kind of going to work every day and doing what I do.
Yes, I think that says it pretty well. You know, it's extremely humbling to be recognized in that way. I truly just go to work every single day and want to do my best to help serve our community. And truly, it really aligns with how I feel as a person. What I should be doing every day is exactly what our mission of the hospital is. It's serving our community with excellent patient-centered care. And that speaks so deeply to me that just showing up and doing that and making sure that every single day we're putting forth the effort to improve just a little bit or serve our community in a great way, it makes it totally worth it. So to be recognized in that way was extremely humbling. Again, the mentorship, that was my mentorship with my previous leader, Kathy Beeler, and she recognized that, and I just am always so appreciative. I think there's a lot of those leaders within the hospital that really just, you know, once you are with them, they teach you, they grow you, they instill different ideals within how can you handle this or how do you approach this. They're just true mentors in the healthcare field. And we're really fortunate to have so many within the organization that it just helps us grow as a community. It helps us grow as an organization with the leadership that we see from all of those people.
And I will say, you know, I just want to take a moment to appreciate every nurse out there, because I've been in some emergency situations where I thought, boy, this is it, you know, and there, no matter how old you are or how tough you think you are, you meet that with some fear. And then all of a sudden a voice comes in the room, you know, and they might just say something as, Mr. Whiting, you know, oh, we're in rough shape, but we're going to get you all fixed up. And it's just that attitude and that bubbliness where even if you are faking it, we feel it. And boy, it just gives you a new sense of hope. And that is such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to appreciate all the nurses that when I hear that bubbly voice walk in the room and ask me how I'm doing, even if I'm doing quite poorly, it really helps pull you through. And you guys are so vital. Mm-hmm. Now, How do we work with clients to keep them on a path of healing? Because like you said, especially coming from the Welch Cancer Center, sometimes that can just feel like there is no hope. You know,
mm-hmm. Honestly, getting to know each person as the individual that they are, that's what's special about a community hospital is, you know, the person that's in front of you. You can recognize the things that, you know, fill their bucket personally. If they are a rancher, you know, probably someone else in the community that's a rancher and you can connect that way. If they enjoy our mountains, you can connect that way. If they like Third Thursdays and they like to go and mingle downtown because that's where they see their classmates, you know, from years past, because that's always the social event of their summer that they like to do. There's an easy way to connect with each person. And I truly think that the patient experience links so heavily with healthcare safety, healthcare quality, mm-hmm. that when you give them that experience, that tight connection of just knowing them for who they are as an individual, that really allows them to have a really healing journey and really trust the caregivers that are taking care of them.
It's almost as if you've taken a moment to get to know me before you had to get to know me, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And that makes you feel good. And I think a lot of people don't understand the healing quality of something like that, because it makes me feel at ease too. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge deal. Now, for those who don't know, this week is Healthcare Quality Week. What does that mean? And why is it something that we should really take note of?
Yeah. Healthcare Quality Week celebrates all the work that we do every single day. It's just a special time that we can really celebrate the high quality care that we give to our patients every single day. There's a quality team at the hospital, and they sit literally in the basement, and they work away all day long with data, safety protocols, policies, regulatory accreditation, all of these things to make sure that what we are doing every single day is high quality care for patients. And I think sometimes we don't recognize how much work each person that shows up to work every single day at the hospital is doing to improve quality for patients in just a tiny way. And every day, if we get a little bit better, ultimately we're going to be better in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. And I think that kind of commitment really attests to how strongly we all feel like this is what we want to do for our community. We want to be great for our community. We want to serve them, and we want to take care of them with excellent patient-centered care.
And yeah, you're right. You know, as long as if it's an inch, then we've gained an inch. Mm-hmm. And in a year, that's 365, you know, slowly and progressively going forward. Mm-hmm. Now, what will you and your team actually be doing to kind of observe this week? Does this week come as like a, hey, you know, it's fire safety week, so now everyone is going to go through the house and check the batteries on, you know, see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, does this give you guys an opportunity to say, hey, you know, you look up at your superiors and you say, I got 1 week here where I want to focus on maybe auditing my department or whatever?
Sure. Well, you know, we as a team actually sat down last week and said, what do we want to do? How do we want to celebrate this? And, you know, one of the things that we can always do to make sure that we're taking care of our patients is monitoring our supplies, making sure we're within expiration dates and all of that. So to welcome in all the fun for our department, we put on Operation Expiration, which is our fun way of saying, hey, make sure let's all check our stuff out on the units, make sure that it's all within expectations. And then we can celebrate, and those that participate can get a coffee card on our team throughout the organization. So it's really our team, again, giving back to our whole organization on how can we support you guys do the best work out, you know, with the patients every day. And so I think that's what's really important about the quality team. It's their role is so much on the knowledge and the knowledge and the regulations and all of the expertise that they hold in very specific areas. Each of them really are like, there's seven in the department. Each one of them has their own very specific area of knowledge that they, you know, put out into the whole organization on how we can do better every single day. And I think that's what really is important about the team and special about the team is that they really value each of their own areas of expertise, and they really want to get that out to the teams to help us all be better every single day. And their partnerships is pretty incredible.
Now, when it comes to that Operation Expiration, you know, some people out there might be thinking, well, how do they not keep track of that? Well, this is how we keep track of it, number one. Number two, just so folks know, At one point in my life, I was what was, I think, used to be known as a combat lifesaver. And you're kind of the medic's assistant. Mm-hmm. It's an extra duty. You're not a medic, but you're given certain schooling and things like that. You're allowed to give IVs, or at least you used to be. And I can remember sitting with our medic and having to go through so many IV bags and so many of the little tubes, and they all had expiration dates. And holy cow, so much of that stuff had just gone bad because it didn't get used and thrown up on a shelf, and it was there in case of an emergency. But it's been, it felt like it'd been forever since someone had gone through that. That stuff doesn't last as long as people think it does. So it needs to be gone through, right? Mm-hmm.
All the time. We do have great processes with our supply chain team. They're amazing, and they have created really great processes. But you're exactly right. Sometimes you will get busy and throw something in a drawer, and then you go back and look and say, oh, we need to put that back, or we need to check it, make sure it's all fine. And it's just about always being ready for that next patient to come in. Yeah. It's really nothing more than just continuously caring about the work that we do and making sure that it translates into a good patient outcome, into good, high-quality care.
And preparation. Yeah. Holy cow. Getting prepped for the next one. Be prepped. Be mm-hmm. ready. Especially up there at the hospital, the more ready you are, the better you are. What are some things people should do or have rights to at a hospital that they may not know as far as care?
Sure. You know, patients do have rights to understand the choices that they have in their health care. Sometimes it's not as obvious, right? Especially in a community of our size, of where do I go for healthcare and what does that look like? Well, I think what's important to know is that all of that is publicly reported. All the information on our quality outcomes is publicly reported. And when you look up Shared Memorial Hospital's quality scores, I think it speaks for itself that you should choose Shared Memorial Hospital. We have high quality care. We are amongst the top in the nation, in the state. All of the benchmarks that we are, we perform really well on all of these metrics. And when I say all of the metrics, it's a lot. There's, you know, metrics on mortality, readmissions, all sorts of things. And we perform well on a lot of them. And so when you look it up online, which is all available for everyone to see at any point, you can see how well we perform. And I think it helps you make that decision and know that the people that are working there are committed to the healthcare that you receive.
Who sets those metrics? Is it like a whole array of boards and associations, or is there one kind of big federal thing over all of it?
A big federal CMS, so it's the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, and they set them for the whole nation. And so it's the same metrics that we have here in Wyoming, Alabama might have, or Florida, or New York. They put you against your peer groups as they, you know, aggregate the data and look at the data. But overall, they still want us to make sure that we are providing, you know, great care where patients are coming back into the hospital, or that mortality rates aren't high, or that we're providing that safe care or timely care. It's all the same metrics for all of us.
So when you accepted this position, they set you down and basically kind of said, okay, here's your duties and responsibilities. What did those look like?
Well, so I get to work with the quality team and case management team. And so it was really starting to integrate the case management team into quality to understand readmissions. Essentially what it is, you know, bringing all the teams together to understand their roles and how they influence quality. How do we influence patient outcomes? How do we work together to make sure the patients have the best quality care each and every day? And truly, if we can get it down to that, that sounds simple, right? Everyone should have quality care, but there's a lot of choreography that has to happen day in and day out to make sure that happens the best way possible. And so really, it's about focusing on getting that understanding deeply rooted within every individual that works at SMH, so that they understand, how can I today show up to work and impact patient quality? How can I take care of patients?
So in a way, it's almost like trying to keep the team motivated in a way?
Absolutely. Yeah. Motivated, focused. I think it's important to really know, how do I make a difference each and every day for patients, and giving them the understanding of that.
I'm not trying to diminish anything at all, but is part of that then maybe organizing something to kind of brighten people's spirits?
We do that, I would hope. You know, we really try to align the, you know, mission of caring for people with quality and how really, truly, everything that you're doing every single day matters in the sense of quality. And a lot of times it's just, how do we make sure that we're capturing the work that we're doing in the right way to show the quality care that we're giving? It's not that we're not, ever. It's that let's just make sure we're making, you know, capturing that and showing how we do it. It's just attesting to the fact that we're actually doing these things that we should be, because that's what we want to do, is take care of patients with quality care every day.
Now, you help lead that team on healthcare quality. Who is your team and what roles do they have? Who's underneath you and what do they do?
Sure. So within case management team, they really work on the care transitions, and that's a big thing in quality, because care transitions helps with the you know, reduction of readmission rates, making sure that they have the appropriate resources, patients when they discharge from the hospital, for example. Now, within the quality team itself, we have performance improvement. We have someone that works on policy. We have two data abstractors, one that is the person who is chart abstracting measures and data and submitting to CMS every single month. And then we have one that is focused on the electronic measures, and those are in how we chart, and those get abstracted, and they make sure that those truly are reflecting the work that we are doing. And then we have a patient safety specialist. We work on accreditation also within that role, which is really the process of validating that we're following all the regulations that are put in place for safe care delivery.
Boy, that's got to be a handful, huh? Because that's changed a lot.
They do change, and they update quite often. But I would say we have like a really engaged team organizationally that it makes it go well, because we have fun while we do it. And then we have infection prevention. That's the other big thing that is underneath the quality umbrella.
Wow.
So
that's actually quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, and being, you know, doing some of the jobs that I've done in the past, I realized that, you know, sometimes there's so many policies. Sometimes there's so many regulations and requirements that you literally need somebody sitting there looking at these all the time. You know, I want you to review the ones that we already have going, make mm-hmm. sure that they're set, being followed, and up to date. And if they're not up to date, they got to be redone and then administered to everybody, so everybody knows that mm-hmm. this requirement or regulation has been updated. I mean, that's a handful and sounds, you know, very administrative type of work. Someone sitting in front of a computer all the time. When you get a low point, or hey, something happened here, are you guys like an investigative team where you go in and you're like, okay, so someone wasn't happy, or someone listed a complaint, even, let's figure out what happened, let's do some interviews and see what's going down. Is that a component of what you do?
You know, what I would say is that there's always opportunities where we can reflect on how we, you know, deliver care, and we're not always perfect, but we're always reflective and how we can always continuously improve. And so I think each of those professions and across our organization partner with the quality department to always say, okay, let's see, how can we do this better? How can we do this better? Or gosh, this process just feels clunky. How can we make it flow better? And we use the different expertise within the quality department and outside of the quality department with those areas of expertise in whatever, you know, department might be wanting to work on something. And we come together and we work on that through different processes. It might be a process that focuses on efficiency with limiting waste in our steps of how we do something. It might be handoff process and how do we work on our communication with one another. And it might be root cause to understand why would something happen and how can we work on our processes to make it not happen again.
All right. And on that, I'm going to take another quick commercial break. We will have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Continuous Improvement. So stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we are speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Director of Continuous Improvement. Tommy Ritterbush. Now, it is Healthcare Quality Week, and there will be some emphasis placed on certain things up at Sheridan Memorial Hospital. What emphasis is there a department that you've almost kind of looked forward to going in and working with during weeks like this? Or
wow, you know, I think what's special about SMH is that it's a strategic priority, quality, and our goal is to provide timely, equitable, and reliable care in all that we do. And we, as departments, each focus on different critical strategic goals. There are a lot of departments up there that are focusing on goals that feed our quality strategic priority. We have a congestive heart failure team. They are focused on taking care of patients and improving congestive heart failure care within SMH. They're doing great work. The ED in the last year has worked on their stroke care. They're doing great work. There's just multiple places all over that are doing quality work that is amazing and serves our patients, you know, continuously by just getting a little bit better every single day. And I think that's something to be really proud of across many departments up there.
Now, being you're from here, you went to college here. I mean, this is your hometown. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But within your department now as the director, have you looked or analyzed other hospitals? We don't have to say names, okay? But have you looked and analyzed other hospitals? And I'm not talking in the region. Maybe this is the whole nation. Maybe this is the whole world where you're like, okay, here's where we are and this is where I want to be. But holy cow, guys, we're not here. So I want you to know that there are hospitals who are kind of this low on the quality care spectrum.
Sure. I think that there's always data to find where, you know, here's how others are performing and where we're doing best. And then also looking ahead and saying, wow, but there's also facilities out there that are hitting this mark up here. And how are we getting there? And how can we collaborate to see what they're doing to see how we can maybe try that here? I think that's one of the most important things around quality care is collaborating with others within the region, within the United States. Honestly, we all have the same benchmarks. And so how do we all work together to learn from one another to achieve great things for patients everywhere? I think the collaboration is huge in that piece of quality. You always have to understand how others are doing it and where you're not doing maybe what they're doing that could get you there.
So do you literally call these folks and you're like, wow, you guys really hit that mark up there. Fantastic job. How do we improve ours? Do you ask for hints and tips or do you, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're asking others that we, you know, partner with or work with. How do you approach this and how are you seeing success? Or there's a lot of evidence-based practice out there and quality really is led a lot by that. You know, different studies that happen at academic centers across the nation and they prove through studies that things are, you know, if you do these interventions, it's going to be a positive outcome to your patients. And really leaning into those studies is how we can continue to improve and how we continue to learn and study on how can we make a difference here, utilizing what's already been done other places as well.
Don't reinvent the wheel, right?
Exactly.
I mean, like if it's there, then just throw it on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't learn how expensive surveys are until I got into this position, and holy cow, those things are expensive to conduct, especially mm-hmm. if you have to go through a third party. Do you often survey patients coming out maybe midway through care or, okay, you're all done, so here's a questionnaire. Would you just answer a few questions? Do you guys ever do anything like that?
There's actually a few surveys that we do within our roles and as an organization that feeds quality. So one of them says our community needs assessment. Oftentimes, many of those that are probably listening have been asked to participate in that as a community. And it really feeds where are the areas that we can grow and develop and how are we serving our community to make sure that there are no discrepancies or inequitability in being able to reach like the highest level of health. And so we take that information and that feeds how we continue to grow and develop as a hospital. It feeds our population health. What are the greatest diagnosis is in our area and where can we evolve those service lines to make sure we're serving patients best in those areas, because that's the patients that we serve. That's the demographic we're taking care of every single day. So that's one of them. The patient aspect that you talked about, that's part of our CMS star rating, which is the publicly reported data that I was talking about earlier, and patient experience, quality, and safety, they're all very tightly intertwined with one another, and that is an aspect of our score, is how well do we provide care and their perception of care through the experience. And they are asked a series of questions that really feeds that whole trajectory of what they feel like they received as a quality metric of their care from their perception, from their patient experience. And then for safety, we also are really strongly focused on a culture of safety at the hospital. And that's within the quality department. And so we take a survey of our staff to understand how they feel. We approach safety and handle safety as a hospital. And we use that to feed how we continually improve in safety, whether that's in handoffs or in processes of how we communicate about safety. We just try to structure the best culture around a just culture of, you know, safety is all of us every day showing up wanting to do our best and having processes developed that allow us to do our best every single day and support us in that.
And you've got that, there's a system of in your computers, and I want to say it's relatively new, during that handoff. Okay, I've given them the care here that I need, but as a, you know, general practitioner, I need to send them off to a specialist, but I got one right down the street, so I'm going to transfer this information over there. How difficult or what is that like? I mean, do you evaluate that transitional interface to make sure, hey, it's up to speed, the patient is happy by the time they got to the specialist because the specialist knew everything, or there's a breakdown, we need to solve this? Are you the ones that handle that?
Yeah, absolutely. Any process that, you know, has an opportunity to be reviewed or look at if it was most efficient in the timeliness of allowing patients to get the care that they need is something that we would review. Again, that goes back to the care transitions that we have in partnering with the case management team. They're really helpful in the care transitions aspect of things, making sure that if we're moving from point A to point B, point B is set up to receive the patient from point A, or maybe it is making sure that all those records are sent to them so that they're all ready to go. All of those things are very, you know, integral in that care transitions aspect, which then down the line feeds our readmission rates and all of those things, which we want to keep low. So the more effective we are upfront in doing all of that planning, the better we are with our like lagging quality metrics that we're measured on nationally and benchmarked on.
And you talked about a community survey. There was one conducted. And just kind of let folks know, listeners out there in radio land, a community survey was conducted and it was found that behavioral health was a major concern in this community. And now Sheridan Memorial Hospital has really, boy, taken that on. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's remodeling going on. There's an entire department being developed. What is your involvement in that as the, you know, continuous improvement director?
Absolutely. We're a partner in all of that. We support them in the, you know, understanding of the regulations in which that new department would have to have to successfully run. We support them with the staff right now to help them understand what does current state look like? What does it look like today? And what do we want it to look like? And how can we today work on processes that little by little we implement now so that when that unit opens, it's running really well. And so providing all of that data is really helpful in the building of the new unit. And we partner pretty closely with that.
And what's the attitude everyone's got down there having a whole new department come into the shop?
Well, I think there's a lot of excitement around it right now. Honestly, I think we see the need. I think people care a lot about our community and want to see us continually, you know, evolve so that we can meet their needs. And so I don't know how you couldn't get behind something that exciting.
No, I agree 110% on that. I mean, I'm one of those individuals who feels that, you know, oh, we've got enough mental health. No, we don't. There's mm-hmm. no such thing. It's until everybody's served, then there's just not enough. And so as you're developing these processes to kind of lay the groundwork Is that like a big part of your day today, looking through that, trying to... Because, I mean, you know, as a nurse, I know there's like a mental health component to everything that you have studied in your career. But boy, this is a whole behavioral unit. Are you doing a lot of research right now among your department?
You know, we support Brittany Goodman, our director of behavioral health, in all of that. She's really kicking off the whole process in developing a lot of those processes and how do we approach the right setting, the right care, the right entry points, getting the right community collaborators, all of the things. And so really we take her direction, and when she reaches out to us, we're right there to support her with all of those.
Because that could be kind of a handful as well.
Yeah.
Huh. Having somebody show up for a mental health issue, and then all of a sudden you learn there's a lot of physical health issues with this individual, and there's got to be a massive amount of communication, and that's where your department comes in. How do we get this person from point A to point B through to C? Have you found any chinks in the armor as of yet, or you're good to go?
Honestly, right now we are riding a really good wave of just really good collaboration. We have some really great community partners. We are working really well with the case management team. We have a new behavioral health care coordinator that just started. I believe Dr. Kinney's starting here in a few weeks to join our team from a psychiatry standpoint. And so right now I think we're really just, you know, writing a lot of great, exciting things and seeing how now with the addition of these new professionals, how can we continue to evolve with now this next, you know, setting with new professionals in, and then what's the next step and what's the next step. I think what's important to recognize is that as at SMH with our process improvement system that we've implemented, we really chunk out processes in small doses so that it's not so overwhelming.
How to eat a whale.
Absolutely.
Right? One bite at a time.
Yep. And so there's a lot of planning that goes into all of that. But if you look at each little segment, then you can really, let's get this segment down and running well, this segment down and running well. And you just move on to each next one as you go. And it really makes it a little bit more palatable than when you're like, just open a new unit. And you're like, that seems like a lot. And so then how do we make that not so much a lot, but little bit better every single day?
Tommy, I want to thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me this morning. It was an absolute pleasure, my friend, learning everything that you have to do up there. Yeah. And it's good to know that you have got our back, my friend. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.